Welcome to this week's edition of The Green. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. While election season has been over for much of the country since November, Democrats and Republicans in the first state are battling into extra innings for control over the state Senate. Lieutenant Governor Bethany Hall Long's former Middletown area seat is up for grabs, with three candidates vying for that chair. Until it's filled, the state Senate is deadlocked with 10 Republicans and 10 Democrats. And it's worth noting that Democrats have held the legislature's upper chamber for more than 40 years. Delaware Public Media political reporter James Dawson reached out to each candidate in this special election for an interview. After multiple requests, Republican John Marino declined our invitation through his campaign manager. So we bring you our conversations with the other two candidates, starting with Democrat Stephanie Hansen.
For you, what's the biggest issue facing Delawareans right now that you would like to fix if you were elected?
I think the biggest issue is jobs. We have not done nearly as good a job as we could have and should have to make sure that we have good-paying jobs for Delawareans. And that is feeling, our families feel that, when someone is unemployed or when they're underemployed. And we're seeing a lot of that now. We need to do a lot better job at job creation. And I think that I'm able to bring some good skills to the table with that, because I was in public office quite some time ago, but I've actually spent the last 16 years in private industry. And my job as an environmental attorney has been redeveloping commercial and industrial properties to bring in good jobs. And so I've actually done quite a bit of that. I know how those deals are structured. And I know what businesses and employers are looking for when they want to locate here. Really, it's fairly simple. They're looking for three things. They want a ready-made, talented workforce to draw from. They don't want to have to come here and raise their own workforce. They want you to have it already in place, so that again leads back to our school system, our colleges, and our vo-tech schools. They want to have infrastructure in place. They want to have the roads and bridges built. They want to make sure that there's water and sewer and utilities that they can access, that there's capacity in those things. And then lastly, they want to make sure that when they build something, they can actually build it and get it up and up from the ground and operating in a short period of time. Because as it currently stands right now, in too many places, particularly in Newcastle County, it can take you well over $100,000 and 2 years to get a plan approved to actually build what you want to build. And when that's the case, even if you have a ready-made workforce and you have the infrastructure in place, if it's going to take a business 2 years to get up and running, they're not going to locate here. And those are problems.
So what's the problem in your mind? Are we talking too many regulations for business owners or what?
It's the process, really. It's the number of steps that you have to go through in the process, the unpredictability of the process. And in many cases, you have agencies, for instance, with Newcastle County and DelDOT, you have agencies that really aren't coordinated to the extent that they need to be. And sometimes they are in each other's way, and that causes a big jam up. That's then felt by our small businesses and our large businesses.
The latest state revenue projections have a $350 million budget shortfall for next year. Former Governor Jack Markell, when he balanced his proposed budget before he left office, had a couple of, he had a mix of tax cuts, or rather tax increases and spending cuts. Two of the more controversial measures, at least on the cut side, were an elder property tax subsidy and also moving state employees to a less costly health insurance plan. Would you support either of those?
I think at this point we have to go through an investigative and decision-making process. And I'm not at the point yet where I'm going to be able to say, yeah, I think those are things that we need to do. Let me talk about a couple of things. Number one, an increase in taxes or a cut in some way, at this point, is not going to solve our underlying structural budget problem that we have. It's going to be a Band-Aid on a much larger problem. And the much larger problem is that we are basing our revenue on things that are unstable. We base too much of our revenue on things that are unstable, meaning the abandoned property and lottery proceeds.
But a lot of that work has already been done. I mean, in 2015, you had both a committee on revenues and a committee on expenditures from the governor's office. Those reports have kind of sat on the shelf. General Assembly's done maybe a couple of those proposed reforms. like you mentioned, there are structural budget problems. And two of these, the state employee health insurance and the elder tax subsidy, or just tax subsidies to senior citizens in general, are projected to cost the state hundreds of millions of dollars in the long term, exponentially growing. So those have been identified. Is that something you still want to take a look at then?
Well, yes, I would like to be able to take a look at those reports because I personally haven't seen them. You know, I want to read them myself. I'm a scientist and an attorney by training, and I don't make snap decisions. So those are things that I would definitely like to take a look at.
What about an increase to Delaware's top tax rate? That was another part of the former governor's proposal. That tax rate currently sits around 7% for those making $60,000 a year or more.
Well, I think that if an increase in tax for our wealthier citizens is something that that's worth a discussion at this point. As I said, you know, it's not something that I'm ready to jump on board for right now, but I think that that is worthy of a discussion.
Another issue that could come up this year is a bill to legalize recreational marijuana. Would you vote in favor of that?
Well, I think that we're going in the right direction. I think that with the passage of medical marijuana legalization, with the passage of decriminalizing marijuana, that we are heading in the right direction with that. But here are two things that I worry about and that I want to make sure are addressed in some way. I want to make sure that we have in place some system to know when someone is too impaired to drive and too impaired to go to work, because you don't want your surgeon showing up impaired. And for that matter, you don't want your hairdresser showing up impaired. So right now we need to take a look at how this has been implemented in other states and see what they have found, how they have addressed those problems, and then what can we do here to kind of right-size what they have for Delaware. I've spoken with Senator Margaret Rose Henry about this. I mean, she and I are on board with looking at these issues. But I think for our public safety, our road safety, we need to come to some way to tell when someone is too impaired to drive.
Yeah, and what's going to make you comfortable? Because I hear that answer all the time when I talk to politicians. It's been legal in Colorado and Washington State since 2012. Is there kind of a time frame that you would be comfortable with to see what kind of effects it's had on their culture out there?
Well, I'd like to, if it's been in effect since 2012, then that should give us about four or five years at this point of data as to what they've been able to see. And I think that's a good deal of data. So let's take a look at it. Let's see, has it resulted in an increase in car accidents? Has it resulted in an increase in malpractice, you know, against professionals for some reason? You know, let's take a look at what they have in place and how it has affected them socially.
Education has obviously been on the front burner for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. In the General Assembly. Lawmakers calling for more money to dedicate toward high poverty schools. Is that possible with our projected budget deficit as it currently stands right now, do you think?
Well, I think that one of the things that we need to take a closer look at, and that will result in the need for legislation, is to change our current school formula. Because right now what we have is a formula where the amount of funding that a school receives is based purely on the number of students that they have. And it does not take into account any special populations within that student population that is going to require additional resources. For instance, those coming from high poverty areas or those with special needs in particular.
Well, it does apply to, you get more funding if you have special needs after fourth grade and above.
After fourth grade,
correct.
That's true. But not below fourth grade. And then also not if you're coming from an area where there is, as we said, a high poverty rate, where you're looking at students that perhaps need some before care and even some aftercare, like wraparound services, and perhaps extra counseling as well. So with those populations in mind, I think what we need to do is go to more of a needs-based funding formula.
Thanks to Stephanie Hansen, Democratic candidate in the 10th District State Senate race, for her time this week. We'll hear from the Libertarian in the race, Joseph Lanzendorfer, next. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.